We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a lakeshore and luxury home specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome back to this edition of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
Good morning.
How was your week? You were telling, be honest now, you were telling me that it's been kind of a busy week.
Yeah, we were kind of crying in our soup a couple weeks ago saying things were slowing down because of the summer. And now, you know, all of our online systems, all of our, you know, open houses, everything are working tremendously well. We're seeing lots of additional traffic coming back, which is a little scary because we need inventory. So even though there's a lot of demand there, it doesn't mean that there's as many houses for sale. That's so true. There's a balancing act there. It'd be nice if those listening would get their houses listed.
Andy, when you said that too about open houses, it's funny. After last weekend, we were talking about that. We're having open houses, and all the ones that weren't getting traffic got unbelievable traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of them. It was, and the response was so fun to listen to, and it looked like just everyone's like excited to kind of get going. But you know what? We're also all green now. You know, all the grass is awesome, and the water looks blue, and everyone's getting excited. So, like we said, we kind of lost our spring. You know, it went right from winter to summer.
It did.
And so, it's funny. I was talking about this, and we always talk about this in the fall, about getting, you know, pictures done or getting all your maintenance done in the fall. And that's what happens is people get caught on that because this winter was nasty, and it took so long that people couldn't get outside to do all their fixing. And so then they were delayed on getting it on because, I mean, depending on price range too, well, actually really any price range, you have to have it looking perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just throw it on the market. I mean, this thing still sit, even though inventory is way down, but you got to do it right.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's something else that we're learning is that there's more than just the summer and the parade of home cycles in our business is that we're starting to see a complete differentiator where in the wintertime, about Super Bowl Sunday, as I always say, we get really busy. And then we're busy through the end of March and maybe even into April a little bit, and then we slow down again. And then start getting busy in the middle of summer again, which we never did. But I think a lot of people now that the kids are out of school officially, you know, and there's a lot of parents saying, you know what, let's get that next house. Let's upgrade. Our jobs are good, whatever. And looking in the same community, I'm seeing a lot of same city moving where people are just upgrading within the same communities, which is kind of cool to see. So, you know, I'm just looking for a bigger house, and then they want to close before school. So,
you're seeing that in neighborhoods, Andy, you know, where they're moving from, you know, one part of the neighborhood, you know, and because neighborhoods were kind of built like different price structures, you know, they want to stay in that same neighborhood because they have all the friends and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But maybe it's time to kind of move up. I mean, literally, I just sold one from, they moved about a block and a half away.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, in some of our developments where they're bigger with new construction, we do see that where they bought the first generation of our model, and then now the new model has all the fancy double refrigerators, double ovens, you know, and the four-season porch that they've always wanted. Now they're saying, how much of an upgrade is it to go from this to that? You know, and so we're seeing the same in the same developments moving too. So that's all good stuff.
That goes to consumer confidence too.
For sure.
I think that people are starting to get excited, you know, that things haven't gone completely haywire and that they're feeling, you know, confident that things are happening out there. So, which is good. I mean, that's good for everyone. Today, Cindy Coble is with us with TitleSmart. And what we do, I mean, isn't this the truth, Andy, though? When we mm-hmm. bring an attorney on, title or accountant, that's when we all kind of get, I think it's, we get excitement from our listeners and stuff like that. We got a lot of content. We're probably not going to be able to answer much today. But it's kind of like, I think those are the aspects of that people don't really know mm-hmm. about. They're kind of the parts of the transaction that it's kind of like the tricky stuff. And there's some new legislation that's passed, so we're going to talk about that. Mm. And kind of hit on the purchase agreement, because there's some little clauses in there that talk about things that no one really understands, and we're going to try to get them out there today.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So welcome, Cindy.
Hello.
Why don't we talk first about that legislation that just passed, and this is kind of going to turn real estate around a little here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. A lot of title companies are kind of afraid of this because it means, you know, investing in better systems and moving forward with technology, but you have to be on board with change. And so I was down at the Capitol for like a day at the Capitol for the title industry and got to talk to our congressman and really delve into this new bill. And it did get passed. And so we should be seeing some new platforms and software and things coming up where we'll, in the future, we will be able to actually e-notarize and e-sign customers, which is going to change things so much.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, especially for our military.
Can I be the first one to say finally?
Yeah, it's coming.
I mean, seriously. It's been for how many years? I thought, why can't this be done? You know, I mean, and I get it. We want to have somebody on site professional explaining things. But on the other hand, the e-signing concept has been in our industry for now for a couple of years. And
right.
The rest of the world's been doing it for decades.
How are they going to verify that, Cindy?
Well, like right now, it's the counties. And it took us a long time to get all of the counties up and running with e-recording. And that's really changed our industry as far as how quickly we can record things. And Hennepin County is already accepting e-notarized documents. And, you know, there's a whole bunch that goes on with that with the Virginia legislation, who's already passed this and is using it. But so as soon as we can get, now that we have this bill passed, and as soon as we can get all of the counties up and running and the new platforms out for the signing, because, of course, we're not going to just use Skype. It's got to be verifiable, and you have to have a way to check for IDs and make sure somebody's not being coerced.
Yep.
And then that will change everything, because especially if I have a military person who is, you know, overseas, it's really hard because right now they have to travel sometimes a whole day to get to an embassy to get a proper notary.
Mm, interesting. I think that the other thing, too, is that, as you know, we always deal with power of attorneys,
mm-hmm.
you know, that people can't make to the closing. And I mean, people are busy nowadays,
right.
And it's kind of like, and you think like, well, they can't even show up for a closing. No, I mean, people travel for work and. You know, and you don't want to screw up the whole closing. We've had that many times where,
right.
you know, I want to be here. And then it becomes this huge fight. And it's like, oh, geez, you know what? This is going to be awesome. I hope it gets to a point that we can actually close like an escrow like the other states do as well. You know, mm-hmm. So, I mean, typically right now we all come together. We sit at a table. Everyone signs their papers on each side. And then they hand the keys over. But in a lot of other states, it doesn't work that way.
Right. So a lot of other states, I mean, you know, right now we're doing just what we call the wet closing, where everybody's coming together. But in a lot of other states, they do everything in separate appointments, and then they go and record at the county. And then when everything's satisfied, they disperse.
Yeah, which is, that's fantastic. And then they all of a sudden they show up and, hey, the house is empty and it's perfect.
It's like the old hand-to-hand exchange. You know, you have to have it recorded before I give you the money.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice because I think a lot of people worry about that. You know, when we close and they say, well, what if they don't do this, or what if that, you know, doesn't cash? And people get concerned about that, because I think that even though we're a sophisticated, you know, marketplace, I think that there's still a lot of old school, you know, hand-to-hand exchange would be nice. And so that.
Yeah, but that hand-to-hand doesn't even work anymore.
No,
I mean, sometimes
no, right.
you can deposit checks, you know, over your phone and then give someone a cashier's check.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of risk there, which is why things have changed a lot. That's come a long way, too, because now there's a maximum that they can deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see a lot of people doing that anymore, where they're remote depositing,
right.
taking
and
a picture
a
of a $100,000 check.
Yeah.
So
do you think this new change with the law will make things safer and faster? Or do you think it's what do you predict as the outcome of this?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot more convenient. I think there'll be a lot of securities with the software. I don't know if it'll actually be safer as far as fraud goes
mm-hmm.
with money, because those are two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll definitely make it so that the customer gets a better experience. Like right now, if I'm going to send documents out to be signed, I send them out and that person has to take them to another notary, and then they don't get to go over everything with me.
Yeah. Mm. And that is, I think, you know, Andy, when you say that, I think we're almost going to get to a point that no one's going to be at a closing, you know, and I'll tell you what, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I still think they need that experience, you know, of someone to be able to go over it with them all. But I mean, there's not a lot good that happens. I mean, the closing is kind of the culmination. It's usually good, but I think the potential danger of sometimes those closings is worse off. I mean, if money doesn't get wired on time they have to go to the next closing, or all of a sudden the walkthrough issue is a problem.
Well, and think about this too, guys. I mean, you desensitize a house, but we don't desensitize the closings, because you still bring the personalities of those people to closings, and we assume they're all going to get along, and somebody's not going to say something silly to somebody else at the closing table, which they all do. So got to be careful.
Yeah, totally.
I guess we'll take a break.
What do you think?
Let's do that, and we'll be back with more of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. By the way, we're around every Saturday here in the 10 o'clock hour. Hope you check us out from time to time. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this portion of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy, for those maybe just joining us, you brought a special guest today.
We got Miss Title Smart with us today, Cindy Coble. Always upbeat, so it's always fun to have her in here, because Andy's usually kind of solemn.
Woo-hoo. Come on, man.
Never.
Never.
You know, Andy. So, anyways, did you drink your coffee today?
I didn't bring any in.
Wow. That's impressive.
I chickened out.
That's impressive.
Aggressive.
In the first break, segment, we talked about new legislation that's given, what do we call it again? E-notary?
E-notary, yep.
Yeah, which is, I think, is fantastic. And one of the things that you said in the first segment, Cindy, was that there's these e-recordings that kind of happen first, and that the counties are getting used to those.
Right.
But I remember in the old days, I mean, we were selling houses so fast and reselling them. People were flipping them because they were making so much money that it wasn't even recorded from the first closing.
Right. So in the olden days, maybe only 4 or 5 years ago, we would actually take our documents, the title company, down to the county, and we had a bin per title company, and we'd just kind of get in line. Here's our documents. And then as they got recorded, they came back to us. Some of the departments, like the Torrens office in different counties, they were 5 to 6 months behind. So if you resold something, we'd be like, oh, well, we don't have the recorded documents back yet, so now we have a delay or a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, so in reality, when we were selling it to the next people, legally, it wasn't even owned by the people that were selling it.
Right. We didn't have a full transfer. We didn't have a document number. So then a title company would be assuming risk. Now we can record. I could actually do an e-recording, like in Hennepin County per se, and have the document recorded while I'm sitting in the closing. It's that fast.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, that's fantastic. I think, you know, when you're doing that, Andy's phone's going off. The guy is as busy as they come.
I was listening to you two talk, though. I was not focused on my texting. As my mother would say, are you listening to me? Yes, Dad.
not at all. See, now I forgot where I was going with that. But where were we going?
We were talking about recording.
I know.
But no. Let him squirm.
Okay. No. All right.
Hey, this is finally I want Andy to start talking.
Yeah. There should be some kind of a light that goes on or something. Andy, wait. No. So, you know, I think what's cool here, guys, is this. Technology.
Are you trying to get me out of this?
Yeah, for
sure. Thank you.
So technology, having things become more efficient for the customer, I think is all of our goals. Because when we sit back and we make decisions as business people in this industry, we always try to say what's best for the consumer. Because when we think that way and we do those activities, it rewards us as business owners. And so what we are constantly, and I know a lot of people don't look at it that way because they think of, you know, the industry as a whole, as real estate, people look at it and they wonder. There's a lot of questions. What do they do? How do they do it? Why did they earn that big commission check? Why did they? And what happens is the better we explain things, the more value that they can see on paper, how we can demonstrate that we're doing things. And this is just another perfect example of the business evolving and having the ability to, you know, provide services that weren't there a couple years ago for convenience. And so I don't know. I have closings all the time where people, you know, we want to close and, well, geez, we have a family vacation plan that week, or we have, you know, I can't get off of work because I'm a nurse or a doctor. And so what happens is that this will just be one level of convenience that I think we've needed for years.
You know, Cindy, I think another thing that might happen is that it might, you know, from a title standpoint, I mean, you guys get so busy and sometimes people have to fill in at different spots that I think, I mean, you're now you're sitting at one desk. I mean, there's someone that can do a heck of a lot more work rather than, I mean, you guys get drive all around the Twin Cities.
Right. And we do put on a lot of miles on our cars.
A ton.
So that will make a huge difference. Another thing that's coming down the road is just the e-closing. And that mm-hmm. is actually this Friday, I'm doing one for Travis.
Seriously?
It's the first e-closing in Minnesota. I mean, they've been doing them around the United States, but it's still kind of a hybrid. So I have a certain amount of what we call wet documents where they have to be printed and signed. And then the rest of them will just be clicking through on my laptop with the client. And they've already received them, reviewed them. So it's going to make that closing like 10 minutes.
Oh my God, seriously. Oh, that's awesome. So a buyer is able to sign off on that?
Yep.
Wow.
But they want them to still do it at the table because I'm the notary.
So is it it must be the lender must be allowing that.
Yeah, so the lender has a whole platform and we've already tested it all week long and so we're ready and the customer knows we're doing it. We know we're doing it and it's just
so that lender,
I'll report back.
So that lender is actually receiving those docs is what it's benefit to the lender. So we're basically on the lender's almost site, if you will.
Right.
Approving all the forms that they've already uploaded for us. And so it's just a faster turn with releasing checks and everything else, I'm sure, right?
Right. So and then the customers had a chance to review all of the e-sign documents and what we call the wet documents, mm-hmm. once they're gonna sign in person.
Is this a normal mortgage?
Yeah.
Like a conventional mortgage, 30-year mortgage.
Huh. Yeah, but we've sat there, Chris, all of us, and people listening here, too, I'm sure
there's plenty of listeners. Hallelujah. I want to see this.
We go to a closing, everything gets signed, and we sit there, and we sit there, and we sit there. It's because the lender doesn't have their ducks in a row, or they think they're missing a form, or they're whatever, and they don't release the funds. And now it's 4 o'clock on a Friday, and now they can't wire anything anymore. And so all of a sudden, nobody gets paid until Monday or Tuesday, and then the people want to move in the house. I love this.
This is going to be so slick. And that's why I personally undertook it to do it myself, because mm-hmm. I wanted to really test it so then I can go to my staff and be like, okay, here's how this is going to work. Here's how I've done it. And then we'll be able to tweak it as we go. And as soon as this legislation comes through, and we'll probably be able to next year at this time do the entire closing that way.
That's fantastic.
I can't wait.
Andy, very nice of you to kind of get me out of that little thing, but I did remember what I was going to say. And it's to Cindy, and we're talking about the old times again.
Yeah.
So when those recordings would get delayed, there's a lot of title companies that would just kind of keep them all and then go deliver them all at one time.
Right.
You know, versus, you know, hey, we got a closing, let's bring it in there.
Every day.
Yeah, so let's just say you closed at the start of the month and they didn't bring them until July 1st. I mean, you might be 8 weeks, 9 weeks out before your thing was recorded.
Right, and that's all a big gap of liability for the title company to assume mm-hmm. and protect the customer for. Yeah. So it's even made it safer for us.
Well, that was back in the day when there was a lot of fraud happening. We would see where some of these people would stack like, you know, 5 or 6 closings all at one time. And they would, on the same property, have different mortgage companies filing mortgages. And nobody even knew what was happening because it was happening all at the same time. And it was scary in the sense that it would happen because you think there's no way they could do this. But, I mean, it's like bank robbing. I mean, it literally is legal in your face, and now these precautions will obviously stop that stuff, so that's good.
Right, because it's taken away that race to the courthouse. So yep. I have a deed, you have a deed. Whoever gets there first and records it wins. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, which is crazy.
Who do you think would win the race between you and I, Chris?
Me, for sure.
Because you'd cheat.
I have a fast car.
You'd have a golf cart or something. I'd be running and sweating.
I'd drive a golf, yeah.
I would e-record mine, so I'd beat you both.
We always give Andy a hard time because we call him OJ. Because remember the old OJ Simpson when he was running through the airport?
Yep.
You see Andy running through the skyway trying to get here in time. And then we can't talk.
Holding so
we're telling him all the
notes.
Truth. We were on Facebook Live a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we should start doing that more to watch.
We will.
And then we catch you kind of running in and then you have to catch your breath.
I think what's funny is that you guys sit there and say, he'll be late, watch this. And then I'm on time and you're like disappointed. You know,
like,
I feel like I'm getting set up here.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we're gonna go into understanding the purchase agreement. We've kind of hit on that on a few other shows. And specifically, we're going to talk about page 7, and hopefully we'll kind of get into page 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it talks a lot about the title, part of that, and the examination, and kind of what all goes into that. And that if there is a problem, how we're going to be able to solve that as well. So
so the page that most people skip over, we're going to actually dive into and dissect
a
little bit.
Okay. These are both pages you don't sign anything on, you know, so
some
people
do skip.
You hear
the phrase like, oh, this is just boilerplate stuff, so we'll skip it. And it's
kind of important. I mean, there's actually a big piece in there that if there is a title problem, I mean, sellers, how much time do we have here, Denny?
Oh, you've got a minute if you want.
Oh, okay. We'll just hit on it quickly. But, you know, there's a section called title examination, mm-hmm. and it basically states that the seller has to give marketable title. Why don't you explain what marketable title means?
Well, that's transferring good title that the buyer then would be able to turn around and sell without problem.
Versus bad title.
Right.
I mean, this is what people think about, though. I mean, you know, like, because we're talking above, you know, so bring it down one notch. So what do we mean by delivering a good marketable title? How do I know if I have a marketable title? What does that mean?
Well, it's meaning that the seller gave you title that you would be able to then turn around and give to another buyer mm-hmm. without problem.
So, like, I don't have a bunch of liens against it, or I don't
right.
have mechanics or judgments, or that's what, is that what we mean by clean title?
Right. And, like,
take all that stuff off.
Here's
of
a
it?
Funny little example is I've had sellers with a second or third mortgage before tell me, well, we don't want to pay that off. And I'm like, well, here's the problem. Your buyer probably doesn't really want that on their title. And then they really understand it.
Yeah, because if that buyer ends up having to sell it, you know, they have to pay off that mortgage. It would be nice, but probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break. We have more show to come, more real estate show here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy, for those, again, maybe joining us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
Cindy Colwell, Title Smart. Now, so I know you guys go by the Smarties, right?
Yes.
You go by the Smarties. Are you like the top Smartie?
I guess.
Yes. All right. So we have the top Smartie here, Cindy Colwell with Title Smart, and we're talking all about different parts of the what title means, and we're going to go over the purchase agreement. And one of the things that we run into a lot is that it states here that the seller has to deliver their abstract or a copy of an owner's title policy to be able to give to the title company. That
right.
doesn't happen.
Right. It doesn't really happen because it has this little part added into it that says if it's in the seller's possession or control. And having a seller go back and dig for that wastes time. And our lenders,
do you need an abstract anymore?
No, we don't need it. We go right to the county. We search the records. We have computer databases that dig into those, too. And, you know,
so you
just
can take it out of your freezer, Andy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you
well,
stored it in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everyone
but,
does. I'm telling you, that's happened many times. They pull it out of the freezer and say, hey, do you need this? And I go, no,
and
not
they also
anymore.
Have the box of receipts for everything they've spent on the house. And it's,
yeah.
those are great things, though, because nowadays that's all coming back to where it's a good thing. But what I would say is this, is when you look at like a title, for an example, and so we have you guys run a title search and the title search comes back and there's six things that you found that shouldn't be on there. And you bought a title insurance policy the first time when you bought the house. Where do we go? How do we start that process? Because I look at it like that previous title company, whoever provided me with title insurance, obviously would be responsible for those blemishes they didn't catch.
Right, and your good title closer that's working for your seller will go ahead and start working towards a way to solve those problems. Typically, we go back to the prior title company and hold them accountable.
Sure.
Make them fix it or make them indemnify over it so that we can proceed forward with our sale.
Because most title companies obviously have an underwriter or something
yeah.
that underwrites all of their activities as well. So it's kind of like having an insurance policy so that if you make a mistake, they're insured as well, correct?
Right, so we would go back to our underwriter then for assistance on that as well.
There's a caveat in that. So all of a sudden, Cindy pulls up all these things and she finds them, and there are six things that are wrong. They'll go back to the owner's title insurance policy if it was prior to them purchasing it. Mm-hmm. This doesn't cover you while you screwed up while you owned it.
Right. So, you know, anything you lien your property yourself with is not covered.
Right. Exactly. So, Andy, you can't get out of that
yeah,
stuff.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Lien my property. I don't care.
But
well, you will care.
Sometimes I'm going back two or three owners ago to fix a problem. So let's say the problem was three owners back. I might go to the title company who insured it at that time. And I can easily find that out by looking at who recorded the documents in the county records.
Yeah. Interesting.
So you're even recorrecting the test from before. So it's almost mm-hmm. like they've had their own exams before and you're re-examining the almost in a way because it's just the best policy for you guys too.
Right. And we might see something they didn't see.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you're ultimately insuring it, so it's your responsibility,
right?
You know, in which to do that. I think it's important. This is a little boilerplate, you know, language that no one looks at. I think it's really important to note that if there is a problem on the title, let's just say that, hey, we've got a closing set up here for the end of June, and all of a sudden a title problem shows up right now, and they say, well, you can't close by the end of June, forget it. No, that's not true.
No.
On the purchase agreement states that you have to give the seller an additional 30 days.
Right.
Now, we've run into that personally a couple
yes.
times that that it's extended past 30 days. Now, people can agree to kind of hang on and do that, but let's talk about a problem that could arise that we have to kind of takes maybe a little time to solve.
Right. So in the case that we had, the deck was built over the property line or over an easement.
Yes.
And it was an easement for something. I'm trying to remember what
Yeah. It was. It went over the top of an easement that was
used by the city.
A water line. Yeah, along the lake. And that if that ever had to get fixed, they would have had to tear down the deck.
Right, because they'd have to dig in to the ground and go down there and fix it. And so it took a long time. I think it took us maybe 4, 5, 6 months to get that resolved. And the buyer really wanted the house, so they didn't mind extending and extending and extending. But ultimately, we were able to get the city to move that easement.
Exactly. So they didn't have to, you know, tear down the deck. So that's interesting. I've had a couple of that a long time ago where, like, the gas line, like a natural gas line, you guys see that? It goes through a neighborhood. You get a couple, you know, steel poles, and it says natural gas. Well, anyways, people build decks over that. And really what it came down to is that, hey, you understand that if this has to be worked on, they can tear down your deck.
Right.
And they had to agree to it.
Or make you tear it down.
For sure. I've even had you guys have helped me and many of my clients over the years. And we've had situations, Chris, where even where there was multiple PIDs in a row and where the one PID in the middle that basically blocks your access to the lake was not recorded properly. And you guys went in there, cleaned it up. The guy that had his name on it was holding us hostage, basically saying to us that, you know, hey, I want you to buy this for me, and was holding up the whole sale. You guys went in there, cleaned it up, and basically pulled it away from him. And it felt great, you know, seeing my client actually win the situation, because they didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it. It was an accident that was way back when, and somebody was trying to take advantage of an innocent person. And you guys, I in that position, you were heroes to me, because you got that cleaned up and done. And I know I and the client were pretty grateful about that. So.
Yay.
Yeah.
And sometimes the stars will align and we can go and get a court order to quiet the title issue and get the judge to decide who that belongs to.
Yeah. I'd really like to talk about how nice Nicole is, though, too.
She is the bomb.
Yeah. she's my favorite over there, Chris. I don't know about you, who you have for favorites.
I've never used Nicole. Cindy's always everyone's favorite.
Plus, Nicole gives me nice hugs and she's complimentary. She says I look nice.
You know,
the important stuff, right?
This is good. All right, back to real estate. Mechanics liens. Let's talk about mechanics liens.
Okay.
What are they, and why are they a problem?
Okay, well, you know, if somebody does work on a property, like build a deck or build a house, bring labor or materials to that property, they have some rights under Minnesota statute to protect, to make sure they get paid. So if they don't get paid, they can come back and file a lien, and then they can actually foreclose on the property on that lien if they've done everything correctly.
I thought I was with somebody, and I thought it was really kind of cute that they said that, there's some mechanics lien on there, so I don't know. They just must not pay their car bill, you know, but they thought it was a car mechanic. It was like, no, it's not quite that. But, I mean, a mechanics lien can be filed. If you haven't, we're going to state at the closing that we haven't supplied labor materials to the property within the last 120 days.
Right.
Because why? Why is that 120 days so important?
Because that is the lien period. So after 120 days, that expires. So even if the material man went and filed the lien in the 180th day, and we could prove that he didn't do any work past the 120th day, he's out.
So let's say that I built a deck. I'm owed $15,000. I'm a laborer, and I provided work to a client, right? They go to sell their house. I was never paid. I filed the proper lien, or they don't even sell their house. Let's say that I wanted to foreclose to get my now. What if they have mortgages on that property? Because you always hear, you know, Chris will say, like, we'll foreclose. How does that work, though? You know, I mean, logistically, I mean, you wipe out a first mortgage and a second mortgage with a deck lien. I mean, you usually are not going to be able to do that. Usually, explain to us how that works.
That's a really tough question.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can still foreclose on that. It's just that you have to give notice with the foreclosure process to those lenders, and then they would be part of that process.
And I probably would spend reasonably $35,000-$40,000 filing that kind of a foreclosure procedure, I'm guessing, with legal fees and everything else to get that done. And so generally mechanics liens, they usually sit there kind of idle until the house would sell. They usually don't get paid unless the first mortgage and the second mortgage are getting paid off.
Otherwise, you're not selling your house.
Yeah, exactly. So because it's not worth it, there's you know, the feasibility of it is not really there. So even if you have a lien, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. I'm not trying to say that they're not important, because they are important if you haven't gotten paid. But the odds of somebody foreclosing when you have a $400,000 first mortgage and a $200,000 second mortgage for a $15,000 deck isn't going to happen, usually.
Well, and here's the deal. When you file a mechanics lien, it'll expire after 1 year. So you have to either keep renewing it, Or you can file a lawsuit, which is what they call a Liz pendants.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll just kind of keep it active so that if another title company comes down the path and examines title, they're going to go, ooh, yikes, Liz pendants need a release.
Okay.
So.
Do they do that?
Yeah, I see those all. Yeah.
Yikes.
Ooh, we're like, we don't want to be burned.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, okay. So, mechanics liens that I think that was a fantastic explanation of what that is. I think another part on here talks about notices. And typically that comes with assessments or not even assessments, but if you have a fence that's over 6 feet tall and you can't have that, and maybe the city went and said, hey, you can't have that fence over 6 feet tall. That has to be disclosed to a purchaser on that. But that's not something that you guys get into.
Right. We just don't get that information from the city. So, you know, a good idea for a buyer is when they're buying a property is just make those calls to the city and just make sure there's no outstanding permits.
Or what about associations, too? Because we've had that happen where somebody has a non-conforming fence or a non-conforming shed or something like that. And then the associations have a little more clout, you know, because they are sometimes involved with title and they can put liens against a property for that.
Fantastic, Andy. And I think we should talk about associations because we deal with that a lot. And it's amazing the money that you have to spend as a seller.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a break. Do that when we come back here on the Real Estate Show around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour here on 830 WCCO. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy and Cindy in studio. Where do we go from here, everybody?
Yeah, no, this is great. I think Andy was hitting on the last segment talking about associations and that the associations have some clout. They certainly do. I mean, on the purchase agreement, it states that we have to give them a resale disclosure from the seller standpoint, and the buyer has 10 days in which to review that. But you have some other things that you need to get.
Right. So we need to make sure everything's current for closing so the new buyer doesn't get stuck with any back dues or assessments that were agreed to in the purchase agreement that the seller would take care of. So we're doing a whole separate verification process with the association and bringing everything current, cleaning up anything so the buyer gets what they're expecting to get.
Yeah, what we're running into a lot is that now that the they're asking for that money up front.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, rather than taking it out at closing. So you have to pay for the association documents to get, I mean, sometimes $100 to $300, sometimes even more than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then a dues current letter is typically, what are you seeing?
I would have to say anywhere from $150 to
$250. Yeah, it's great. I mean, so there's almost $500, $600 right there just because due to an association.
The first time in my career, I saw this in the last month here where there was an association that charged them to basically become a new member fee.
Totally.
There was a $350 just to fill out the paperwork for the new homeowner. And
Welcome.
Here's your junk fee. Yeah. And
there's move-out fees time, sometimes move-out, move-in fees. I mean, you got to look at those associations. You get 10 days. We talk about boilerplate stuff. I mean, you got 10 days to look that over. Now, the buyer, by law, can get rid of that within 3 days.
Sure. But so quick example or quick, I want to acknowledge that. So when they have 10 days to review what's recorded, if there's something that's not recorded yet, Cindy, how does that apply? Because I've heard that some of these associations will adapt a new program. And if it's not in the recorded documents that go on the title, they can talk about it all they want, but it's not enforceable unless it's actually on the recorded covenants. Is that correct?
Well, they should be getting copies from the association for that, but we're pulling those. So if they ever want us to pull the recorded ones, we can. Mm-hmm. But
if somebody wanted to dispute this new fee, for an example, because that's actually what I was doing with this client.
Yeah,
I was like, show me where it's recorded this way, and then we'll pay it. But I said there was no disclosure of it. There was no whatever. And then that comes down to what are the obligations of an association to disclose their fee structure to a new buyer, you know, and do they have to agree to them or can they negotiate? You know, those are all the things that as agents we have as concerns for our clients. And so I guess buyer beware, if there's an association, let's completely investigate it, spend the time and truly take that 10-day opportunity to really investigate what you're getting into because it'll possibly change your experience of living there.
Well, and here's some of the different things that I see with associations. So sometimes I work with an association where it's self-managed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, maybe 20 people in there and the one guy says, I'll manage everything. So when I need information for closing and you do, it takes a lot longer.
You got to go to Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill works a full-time job.
And you
got to
call him at
night,
you know, because that's when he's home.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you have, so the association members that go to those board meetings decide what they're going to spend and they price out these management companies and they choose.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know, you know, how you fight against
that. And it's a tough deal, too, because, Chris, a lot of our new construction developments are required by the cities to have some form of an association to manage the outlots, ensure the outlots, because there's certain parts of the cities that I don't want to adapt that. And that's not going to be park space. That's just open space. We'll make these homeowners pay for that with an association that will manage it. So there's a lot more of that we're dealing with now than I ever thought we would with single-family homes, not just with the townhouses and condos. It's single-family, too.
Right. Somebody's got to cut that grass around the brick monument.
Yeah, exactly. And keep the flowers pretty.
Yeah.
TitleSmart usually does that for all our developments.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But anyways, hey, what's the difference between a plat drawing and a survey?
Okay, so a plat drawing is literally we have a company that goes out there. He walks the property. He looks at the plat map that's on record with the city. He kind of estimates the distances.
Eyes
and
it
draws
out.
That. Yeah, and then he looks at what's recorded on the property at the county as far as easements and draws them on. But it's definitely not something you'd want to do to put up a fence or build a deck or a garage because it's literally somebody walking around with the tape measure.
And from that, and from what you find out from that plat drawing, you may require a survey.
Yeah, we may look at it and go, ooh, this is kind of weird, so we're not going to be able to insure that. If you want to be insured for that, you're going to have to pay for and give us a survey to inspect, and then we can give you a survey coverage endorsement.
Example of something that you might say, ooh, I don't know about that, and we're not going to insure it. Is that like you think someone's fence is over their property line?
Yeah, or maybe there's some recorded documents that are showing an overlap between the neighbors where, like, maybe when he got title, it deeded over this section, and then they overlap, like, 10 feet. So we're like, ooh, we can't really tell without somebody doing a survey to see where that line really is and if that overlap really does exist.
And, Andy, that runs into a whole bunch of different things. Okay, I'll never forget when I went, I got into the house that I'm in now, and I went in and I surveyed it, and I mean, my survey stakes on the other side of their fence, you know, and it kind of like, so it's off and it's kind of like, so I had to go talk to them and say, hey, here's where mine is. You don't have to move your fence and stuff like that. I'm not asking for that, but you just need to be notified that this is the thing. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they never did a survey to kind of verify that.
Oh, and there's always issues with that too, where I bought a piece of land and we developed it and we had where, oh, you know, Bill used to let us bring all of our sheds and all of our old clippings and everything onto the property here. And I did a survey. And my survey went within like 10 feet of their decks on the back of their houses. They were mowing another 20 feet back, and then they had their sheds back even more. I'm like, I felt horrible, but we had to enforce the boundaries. I mean, and we had to go in there, and I actually literally put up, you know, the little privacy fence, as they call it, and in a couple spots because they weren't complying. I mean, so it can be a nightmare. I mean, this could be a whole show talking about surveys, boundaries, what your neighbors are doing to you, and how to protect yourself.
Hey, let's do this because last week we got a bunch of calls in last week, which was fantastic for people that needed help. So they get a hold through Prasky.com.
Yeah, you can also call my office at 763. I got a lot of heat for this.
Yeah, say it slow. 763.
763-433-0850. And that'll go right to our office up in the northwest corner here. And then, or Prasky.com.
Yeah, you're out of Blaine Champlin area.
Yeah. Yep. Email's Andy@Prasky.com if you'd rather email. Because that, you know, just get a hold of us. We'll get you these answers. And
where do we find some smarties?
Yeah.
At TitleSmart.
Well, we have an email address now called info@title-smart.com. And then that way, either me or one of our operations associates can answer it really quick.
Yeah, and obviously any of these things, a lot of people just Google our names and stuff, but
yeah.
ChrisRooney.com, and then we take a lot of the radio questions on 952-226-6699, 6699.
Yeah.
So when people want to call in and do that. So,
where do they go for your fan club, Chris?
They just come to Buffalo Wild Wings, where I work probably 18 to 20 hours a week.
Your wife and your mom and
Yeah, everyone thinks I have like a second job at Buffalo Wild Wings, but I truly—that's how like I come up with stuff. My marketing, I can work there.
Do you remember a couple years ago we had that guy call into the show and he says, "Andy, do you still keep office hours up at the local Buffalo Wild Wings?"
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, geez, I guess I'm exposed." But I know it's always nice because in the middle of the afternoon it was quiet and you could get a lot of work done, watch sports. It was nice.
I've never drank a beer at Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way.
I don't drink, so it doesn't. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Right.
Well, one thing you guys are doing now—you're making us hungry. So
Father's Day come up here. We expect
absolutely. That's right. All right. We have to go. Thanks very much. Good to see you all. And we hope you join us again next week with another edition of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.